Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and I'm here with Michelle, and we're currently in the middle of the Phoenix leg of the Metallica 72 Seasons World Tour, and boy, do we have a show for you. We're going to talk about the first night of the concert, what we saw, what we're doing, and what it's all about. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forteau travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey, Michelle, how are you doing today? How do you like Phoenix, Arizona?
Ooh, it couldn't be any hotter here. I believe that we are on the hottest part of America.
We are. This is our first time seeing a concert in Phoenix. We're here after almost a two-week road trip after attending Podcast Movement in Denver and a whole bunch of national parks on about a 5,000-mile road trip in a piece of crap rental car. But let's jump right into it. We are here for one thing and one thing only, to see Metallica on their No Repeat weekend here in Phoenix. Last night, Friday, was the first night, and that's where we're going to start this. We got there early, about 3:30 in the afternoon at the State Farm Stadium. That is where the Arizona Cardinals play. And good thing we got there early, because they started letting us in right on time, and we had some excellent seats, didn't we, Michelle?
We did have some excellent seats, which is pretty much par for the course for us. You usually have the inside trader edition getting us concert tickets and seats to events, which I love. But if you guys would, if you go seek out my Facebook page or my Instagram, you will see what always happens to me.
So as I said, we arrived early, just in time for the opening acts. Opening up first was Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen, or WVH, I believe is how he does his logo. What do you think about that band? They're sort of up and coming. Obviously, Wolfgang has been playing professionally in band since he was a kid. He filled in for bass for Van Halen when his dad was still alive, and Michael Anthony moved on to join Sammy Hagar. But I know you're a fan of Wolfgang, aren't you?
I am a fan of Wolfgang, and I think he is, you know, he is awesome, actually. He brings that grungy, gritty rock back from pre-Van Halen days, if you will. But he's got his own sound, and I'm actually digging it. Not only did I listen to his new album, Drop Mammoth 2, but I also listened to the original all week before we flew down to Denver.
So they played for about a half an hour. The stadium was just filling up, so a lot of empty seats, a lot of echo there. That's kind of par for the course for those small opening acts. But they sounded pretty good for such a large stadium. Then they had about a half an hour or so break before Pantera hit the stage. And immediately you knew you were at a rock show. Michelle, this is your first time seeing Pantera. What do you think of that band? I know that's not really your style, but my goodness, they put on a pretty good show, didn't they?
You know, it isn't necessarily my style. They don't do a lot for me, but I gotta tell you, Robert, I was actually surprised by their live performance. Their drummer was right on point, and man, Zakk Wylde is just a beast.
He is a beast, and as I said on Instagram this morning, there are very few modern rock guitar gods, and I think Zakk Wylde takes that cake. I love seeing him. I remember seeing him when he was just starting out way back in 1989. I saw him in Portland, Oregon when he opened, when he was the guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne on the No More Tears tour, and I knew immediately when he kicked those licks off on that record, he had something special. And I've been a fan of his ever since then. I know you saw Zach's band Black Label Society last year at Aftershock, and you weren't too impressed with him at that point. I remember you sitting down on the grass there at Aftershock when he played, and I was just sort of in awe of this guy playing guitar then. But my goodness, this guy can shred, can't he?
He certainly can. And, you know, no fault of my own, I don't know very much about Zach Wilde. I was enjoying listening to him play, but quite honestly, it was a hot day in Sacramento, and maybe I was just letting you enjoy your groove.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about this version of Pantera taking over for the old school Pantera fans. A lot of trolls, if you will, are saying this is not the real Pantera because Vinny and Dimebag are dead, so all we have now is one original member with Phil on the lead vocals. But man, they killed it, like you said, Michelle. The drummer, my goodness, I don't think I've ever seen a three bass drum before, and those guys were just hitting it, weren't they?
You know, for somebody that is not a fan, I enjoyed it. And I thought that Phil did a great job commanding that large round stage that Metallica had designed. And Zach was right there with him and didn't alienate each other. I mean, it wasn't a bromance up there, but they came, they did their job, and that was that. And it was a good show.
So they played for about an hour or so, and then we had the turnover as they set up for Metallica. But before we talk about Metallica hitting the stage, you talked a little bit about the stage setup that they have. It's a typical in-the-round setup that they have done ever since I started going to Metallica concerts in the 80s. They have the snake pit in the middle, then they have sort of that 50-yard line set up. That's much different than your typical musical act with the stage on one end or the other. But this was 100% full-on production, wasn't it? Tell us your thoughts about sort of the setup, where we're sitting, what our sight lines were. Tell us about your lumberjack friend. Just set the stage a little bit before we talk about Metallica.
Well, so we're watching Mammoth. I had full view of the stage then. And then Pantera comes on, and this is when the guy that finds me at every venue we go to, doesn't matter the music, doesn't matter if it's a stadium, if it's a small bar like we saw Pretty Reckless in Seattle, or if it's the Nutcracker, this guy finds me, and he stands in front of me every single time. And so he blocked the whole stage for Pantera, which was fine. I still was able to watch the Jumbotrons and get the gist of the vibes for the show. But come time for Metallica to come on, you threw me out onto the aisle, and I was able to watch from the stairs, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, there's always that guy. One thing I have to say is, I mean, typically the drums move around and Lars gets to go on the 5 points of the round, and it's a lot of fun. But I gotta tell you, Robert, I was blown away by Trujillo getting on the moving circle in the middle of the snake pit and just killing it. Lick for lick, didn't miss anything while he was moving around on that circle that wasn't probably any bigger than a tetherball circle.
Well, when you're paying upwards of $8,000 for those snake pit tickets, you got to be in for something special. So, as always, they kick off every show since the early 80s with the theme song, if you will, from The Good and the Bad, the Ugly, the Western, and it's called The Ecstasy of Gold. We know that they are about to hit the stage when that pops off, Michelle. That anticipation builds when we see that old Clint Eastwood flick, doesn't it?
It does. It's one of my favorite openers of any band. It rivals what GNR does, which I love. So, yeah, I'm always into their opener.
And as Metallica has promised on this whole tour, it is going to be a no-repeat weekend, meaning they're going to do two entirely different sets on Friday night and then a different one on Sunday. So no repeats, and you never know what you're going to hear. Of course, a lot of people come for their fan favorites, but they kicked off with Creeping Death and then Harvester of Sorrow and then Holier Than Thou. My goodness, they hit the ball running, didn't they?
They sure did, but man, was I blown away when they started playing King.
King Nothing was next, and I don't think I've ever heard them play that live. I think I've seen Metallica more than 20 times since my first time in 86 or 87. Then they played a song right off of their new M72 album, Lux Externa. Then Too Far Gone, Fade to Black. That was a excellent version of Fade to Black. And James stopped for just a second and made a note about suicide awareness. I thought that was pretty special, didn't you?
I thought it was perfect.
So next up was Shadows and then Orion. This has been a big-time favorite on this tour. They haven't played that one in a long time. And then Nothing Else Matters. And then, as they say, the hardest song in their catalog, Sad But True, Hardwired for to Self-Destruct, and then Fuel. And then this is when we knew something was going on, and the Twitter feeds are kind of going crazy about this. They say that James lost his voice during the rendition of Fuel, and they cut it kind of short, didn't they, Michelle? I know that this first night they weren't going to do any encores or anything, but you could tell something was a little bit off during Fuel. Didn't you see that as well?
Well, I didn't think that I was being shortchanged. Let's just put it that way. Trujillo stepped up with Kirk, and they rounded it out. They did their own little solo, if you will. I think that was not only to give James and Lars a break, but they were probably calculating if they could pull out the final two songs that they had on the list that night originally or not. And yeah, I didn't feel cheated.
And the end of the show was Seek and Destroy. They dropped a whole bunch of huge beach balls down, and those guys, those balls were all over the place. You could see people popping them and taking them home for souvenirs and the whole lot. But yeah, like you said, they were supposed to do an 18-song set. The set list was supposed to include I Disappear, a song that they don't play very often. They started playing it a lot on this tour, and Master of Puppets, which is obviously a fan favorite. But it's my understanding from the threads this morning that they cut those two out from their typical 18-song set and cut it short to just 16. So the concert ended right about 11 o'clock. We stayed at a very cool golf resort. We were probably the only Metallica fan staying in that resort. So let's talk a little bit about that before we talk about our gap day, if you will, or hump day here on the No Repeat Weekend Tour. What do you think about the Wigwam Resort, us old fogies staying in a golf resort and rocking out to Metallica?
Well, so I found that wigwam on our way back down from the south rim of the Grand Canyon. And I was super excited to stay there because it's a historical landmark. It's a historical hotel that started accepting guests on the Stagecoach Trail in the 1920s. So I was super excited to get to stay there. It was a lot of fun. It was very unique. We had a great pool day and relaxation day on Thursday, which was great. It rejuvenated us and got us ready to rock.
So here we are on Saturday, our hump day or our gap day, and this was a special day. As we said on this Metallica tour, they're really doing something different than a lot of other bands. Is not only are they playing two shows with a day in between, but they have all these other events that they're calling takeovers, and they have an interactive map that they've put on Instagram and other social media where you can go as fans to do other things. As we sit right now, we're sitting out in front of a recommended Pinball Arcade. They have a show with Otto tonight. Otto is Robert Trujillo's son's band that's here in Phoenix and doing all sorts of other stuff like record store pop-ups and all that. But let's talk a little bit about the pop-up. We traveled from our hotel this morning into downtown Phoenix to hit up the pop-up, which was open from 11 to 3. We got there at about 10:15 and stood in line. What was our experience at this pop-up? This is sort of a new thing. This is a millennial thing, if you will, because I don't recall any other bands doing those that I've ever gone to, but I know this was our first pop-up. But what was set the scene for the pop-up this morning?
It felt a little bit like it wanted to be a smash and grab, but it was a controlled smash and grab. It was really a first come, first serve kind of situation. They ran out of posters early. People were saying they ran out of the LPs, but lo and behold, come to find out later while standing in line at the next venue, we found out that they were hoarding things in the back and only bringing out things at certain time frames. We were not in line to get a poster. We were in line to get the LP that we already own. Mind you, but this one's special. It's called Phoenix Red Splatter. So the LP itself was pressed in a way that looks like red tie-dye on the LP. I'm super stoked about it and can't wait to give it a listen once we get it home. Now, I will tell you, we went in there and Robert and I are not the skinniest of people. We need extra large shirts. There were none to be had. There were a few, not a lot, at the pop-up that were unique to the pop-up. Mostly, they had the garb that they did not have at the venue, like a lot of pins, a lot of keychains, and the like. What they're missing is stickers, because I'm like a major sticker collector. So they're missing stickers, but they had the patches and all those things, coffee cups. Yeah.
It was a purely take my money event. We did snag one of those M72 discs, and we will be happy fans to listen to that when we get home. And right after the pop-up, we jumped in the car, drove all the way across town, probably 20 miles or so, to a very small liquor store called Paradise Liquors for a very cool event. Set the stage for that one, Michelle.
Woo! All right. You pull into this little bit of a shady side of town, but you're fine. You get it. You know what you're here for. We pull in. There is this smoking hot, super sweet Chevy Impala parked in the parking lot. You know you're at the right place. What does Robert do? Rolls us in right next to that bad boy. We jump out. Dude comes flying out of the store. Yo, yo, yo. Are you here for the signing? And we said, yeah. He was like, you got to move that car. So Robert pulls the car around to the back lot. There's already probably 40-ish people in line. All right. We felt like we were doing pretty good. Get in line. Within an hour and 48 minutes of when this door is supposed to open, it is a sweltering, humid 100 degrees on blacktop with no shade. Couple of hints to Paradise Liquor. Hire a food truck, hot dog stand, I don't care. Get somebody out there passing out water and put up some shade. We would have all been much more comfortable and more willing to spend more money.
So we got there at 11:15 for the 2 o'clock signing. So we had a long wait. There was a very nice lady that was passing out extra tacos from the Taco Bell across the street. I ended up snagging one of those. But we were in for a long wait. They passed out yellow wristbands.
Hey. You cannot forget my parking lot buddy went to his car to bring me his umbrella.
Yep, you were definitely hot. So we stood around for a long time. We got a yellow wristband that we found out very later in the day that this was the only folks that we're going to get inside to get a signed bottle of the M72 version of blackened whiskey. But we made our way in. We got inside at about 2 o'clock and we waited another half hour or so to get our signed bottle. Who was there, Michelle? Well, who did we meet and what was that all about?
So we met the founder of Blackened Whiskey, Robert Dietrich. Super cool, super awesome dude. But he had a buddy there with him, Robert. He had none other than Robert
Trujillo
standing there ready to shake our hands. Thank you for coming. Let me sign your bottle, spin you around. You get a nice little candid picture. And then they send you on your way. It was perfect. No reason to act like an idiot and invade the man's privacy. You're simply there to say, great to meet you. Thanks for coming on out and giving us a great show. And we're bouncing out.
So, you know, Michelle, neither you or I are big fanboys, fangirls, and do these types of things, you know, book signings and that sort of stuff. But why in the world would we stand in line for blackened whiskey? I'm sure a lot of people that are fans of ours know, but quickly tell us, what is the significance of blackened whiskey in relation to you?
Well, hold on a second, Robert. You just brought something up to my mind. I actually stood in line for 4 hours in a Barnes & Noble once for you to do a book signing for the author of the Prey series.
John Sanford.
So, I have done these things before. You were not there. I did that for you as a gift. Man, was that hard. So, this is significant to me because Robert bought me one of the best Christmas gifts he has ever bought me. He bought me a 2013 Toyota FJ 2 Christmases ago. It is black. My license plate is a vanity plate from Alaska. Blackened, of course. We have a photograph of it on our Insta with my license plate, my FJ in the background, and a bottle of the blackened whiskey, because blackened whiskey is my favorite whiskey. So, here we are, getting a signed bottle, yellow 72.
So we have the bottle, and as I mentioned, we're standing in front of the arcade, looking forward to what the evening entails. Tomorrow is day two of the concert. I hope that James is able to rest his voice. I know you said something on Instagram this morning about if James was unable to attend. What would you like to see instead of canceling?
Man, show up and just play. Just play. We'll sing.
We will sing all of the songs. It was a packed house. I don't know how many people are in there, but it was supposedly a sold-out show for night one. We are highly anticipating night two before we make the long drive to Salt Lake City on Monday to jump on a plane and head home after 2 long weeks on the road. But we have tickets for the same tour, the same weekend, next year in Seattle. But we're already talking about possibly doing the Mexico City tour, and I think version of this tour next year before we hit a cruise in Europe. And this was sort of brought on by a couple of fellows behind us who were singing every single tune of Metallica in Spanish. What do you think about those before we end the episode?
Those dudes were way too happy. Yeah, they were having a good time. They made it a little bit of a different experience for us, for sure. But more power to them. I know that Metallica has a large following of fans down in Mexico.
So what do you think, Michelle? Should we go to the Mexico City stop of the No Repeat weekend of Metallica next year? What do you think? Yes or no?
I'm not sure I want to go down there in the heat.
So, guys who are listening to our podcast, what do you think? Should we go to Mexico City in September of 2024 to catch this leg of the Metallica M72 tour? Let us know in the comments. Let us know on social media. And if you say yes, we will buy tickets and we will go. We're interested in doing some interaction here with our fans. With that said, we are looking forward to tomorrow's show. And, of course, course, looking forward to Seattle. I highly recommend anybody that is a fan of Metallica to buy tickets now for the remaining shows. I know they're going to be in St. Louis in a couple of weeks, and then I believe they're going to be in Chicago, and then they're taking a break off until next year. And then they're playing a few U.S. dates, Canadian dates before heading to Europe, and then ending the tour in Seattle and then onward into Mexico City. So there's still plenty of dates to hook up. I love this new format. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of Metallica fans. And we just hope that we are able to see the next couple of shows. On behalf of my co-host, Michelle, this is Robert for Rockin' Coasters Podcast. Do us a favor and follow us wherever you find your podcast, whether it be on YouTube or Apple Podcast, Spotify, or whatever. And let us know what you think about this episode and if we should go to the Mexico City stop on this tour. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.